up and down Grand Avenue.
Music by John Darnielle, the frontman for the Mountain Goats, an indie band currently based in North Carolina. This is a tune called Southwestern Territory from their new album, Beat the Champ. John Darnielle is also a novelist, and he'll be in Baltimore tomorrow headlining the 12th annual City Lit Festival. His latest book is called Wolf in White Van, which tells the story of a young man named Sean Phillips, the inventor of a game called Trace Italian, which is played via postal mail in the 1990s. Sean's face is severely disfigured, and as the novel unfolds, we learn the complex story behind his medical challenges in this highly literary and haunting book. John Darnielle joins me today on the phone from his home in Durham, North Carolina. Good morning. It's good to talk to you.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing fine, thanks. So tell us a little bit about this character, Sean Phillips. He's really a fascinating character.
Well, he underwent a traumatic event when he was a teenager, and so he's disfigured, lives by himself, and as sort of makes his living in an imaginary world in a couple of ways. I mean, it's the world he lives in is part of the past. Not a lot of people play games through the mail anymore, you know. But that's sort of the way he established himself. He gets some disability checks, but he makes a little extra money with this sort of this thing he administers, a game called Trace Italian that's administered through the mail.
And were these games by mail, were they sort of precursors to video games or to games that people are now playing on the internet?
So here's the thing. I made it up. I didn't know whether that was an actual thing or not, you know. But then when I looked it up later after I'd been writing the book for a while, but then when I checked it out, they did used to exist. But I personally didn't ever play any of them. I felt like when I made it up, I felt like I was sort of, you know, seemed like I'd read something about it when I was a young science fiction fan that I'd seen some sort of classified ad. But I personally never played any of them. Since I wrote the book, when I was revising it, I wound up playing some games I still play tonight in my game session, tabletop games. And I asked the game designer that I play with, hey, was this an actual thing? He said, no, there used to be a few, and there's still one company out there that does it. But most of them went to computer-generated turn-taking as soon as they possibly could, whereas this game takes place in a filing cabinet. Right? All the moves are pre-written. He's just selecting corresponding moves, but there's a very personal curatorial aspect to it.
Yeah, so the way it works in the book is that people write to him, and then he sends them directions for their next move. Is that
right?
Is that the way to describe it? And there are a couple of characters, Lance and Carrie, who get particularly involved, very deeply involved. I mean, were you thinking about the dangers, the opportunities, the dynamic of getting involved in this fantasy world, whether it be via postal mail or the internet?
I mean, I think with Lance and Carrie, the main thing I was sort of thinking is about how when a person creates something, there's a point at which he has to let go of it, and people go where they will with it, you know. And that's kind of, that's a cause of some anxiety when you make stuff, you know, that you don't really know what it's going to mean to people and what they might do with it sort of inside their heads. With Lance and Carrie, there's this extreme thing that they do, you know, that they project the game onto the surface of the actual world and imagine that it's taking place in real space. You know, and I think people who make stuff up have some anxiety about this at times, and sort of the book, because it's got a sort of, there's a horrific aspect to it, you know, sort of exaggerates that kind of fear and anxiety.
John Darnielle, he is the author of Wolf in White Van. He'll be at the City Lit Project tomorrow afternoon on 88.1 It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. The structure of this book is the thing that I think strikes most readers because it's really interesting and really strategically almost kind of coy. You sort of dole out the facts of Sean's life and the people in his circle very sparingly, and you sort of know what the ultimate event is at the very beginning of the book, but it's not until the end of the book where you have a sense of why that event occurred. Is this a structure that you're familiar with, that you had been thinking a lot about? I mean, where does that come from?
Well, I mean, the story's told backwards, right? And sort of tell a story backwards is and try to maintain some forward momentum because you're reading forward. There's a challenge, kind of a game-playing challenge that I set for myself that I was enjoying doing. But the other thing is I don't know that we do get a why. I mean, I think that's part of what the book is about, is you want some sort of coherent why did you do this thing, but we don't really know why people do what they do, and often the people themselves don't know it, and that's part of, I won't say the point, but it's one of the things that, you know, we keep looking for some motivating signaling thing that caused him to act out in this way that where he disfigured himself, but there isn't really one. It's just a thing that he did at some point, you know, and it was, he calls it an accident, and I think that's accurate, you know, that even though there's a lot of intention involved, it's not exactly the sort of thing where you say, well, I'll do this thing, and then I'll survive, and I'll make a game. No, he acted rashly in the moment, like a lot of us do. And the book is more about consequences of those sorts of things, the lives you build in the wake of some decisions you make that you may not fully understand.
You write song lyrics, you write songs, obviously, and you're writing novels. Are those two different parts of the same brain, or are they very different endeavors for you? Do you do both of them simultaneously, or do you have periods where you're just writing tunes?
It depends. Writing a song is pretty quick for me, and a novel is a long discipline. So you can work a little bit in the morning, or you can work all day. I'm a dad now, so I used to work at night and write a lot at night, but now by 8 p.m. I'm pretty much done.
Yeah, I think all dads can relate to that, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not, you know, I accept it, but at the same time I resent it because I used to write songs at night all the time. There's nothing in the tank by 8 p.m. unless I'm on tour. If I'm on tour, I can play at night. But as far as actually getting creative work done here at home, I put in a full day between 6 a.m. and 8 p.m.
Yeah, yeah.
And I try and squeeze some songwriting and book writing in the available, you know, in the crevices somewhere along the line.
That's great. How many kids do you have, and how old are they?
I have two. I have a 3-year-old and a 6-month-old.
Yeah, that'll keep you busy. That's for sure.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, writing songs with my 3-year-old, I wrote the entire last two albums with him on my lap most of the time, and he enjoys it. He loves music, so there's nothing to that. You know, writing a book, you have to make space. Like, I keep threatening to go get an office to work in.
I talked to a poet named Paul Muldoon one time, who's also in a band. He writes poetry. But Paul had an interesting comment about the difference between poetry and lyrics. He said that poetry has its own music, and lyrics need music put on top of it. What do you think of that observation, and does it pertain to when you're writing prose?
Well, I mean, look, Paul Muldoon is one of the most celebrated American poets alive.
So, yeah, he is.
So I hate to disagree with Paul Muldoon. But I think actually poetry as we understand it today is an outgrowth of song. And poetry is what happens when somebody wants to convey the song but doesn't have a means for doing so, and language happens to have come along so you can write it down. But I think they're essentially the same craft. If your verse doesn't sing, you haven't written good poems, right? So yeah, I think they are essentially the same. I mean, I think songs are much more immediate as a general rule, right? And you don't, you know, you don't generally, if you hear a good phrase, rewind and go listen to it 4 or 5 times, you know. Whereas with a poem, it's text on a page, so you take it in a different way. But I think they are essentially the same craft at core.
All right. Well, John Darnielle, it's been great talking to you. Have a great trip tomorrow to Baltimore, and I really, really enjoyed the novel. Thanks so much.
Thank you, man. Best of health to you. We'll see you again.
I appreciate it. John Darnielle, his band is the Mountain Goats. Their latest album is called Beat the Champ. His novel is called Wolf in White Van. He'll be at the City Lit Festival tomorrow in conversation with the director of the City Lit Project, Greg Wilhelm. City Lit Festival begins at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning at the Enoch Pratt Central Library and concludes with John Darnielle's presentation at 3 o'clock. It is on. It is going to happen. John will be actually not the only musician in attendance. The entire festival is a music-themed festival this year. We've got all the details on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great weekend.
What life was like long ago. But it's gone, you know. Climb the turnbuckle high. Take 2 falls out of 3. Blackout from local TV. Stand in that cold, empty hall. Wait for your name to get called. Burn like hillsides on fire. In the squall of the ringside choir.